Thanks for the introduction, and also thank the organizers for the invitation. So the first result which goes back to maybe almost 200 years ago. So by the way, the number two will appear many times in today's talk for some reason. So I will select E. It's chalk. Yeah. So if I have a quadratic extension called E over Q, so now I need to warn you that my letter E will be filled instead of a elliptic curve. The quadratic. So let chi to be the quadratic character, so the ideals of Q, so trivial on Q cross, it's a character of order 2, so with the value into the group of plus minus 1. So then I can consider so the two situations. One is it is real quadratic. Then if I look at this L function associated with chi, if I look at the value at 0, it is known to the formula due to Dirichlet is given by the class number of this quadratic field divided by half of the number of roots of unity by omega e. It's a remarkable formula because at least it tells you it's a positive number. And also it's almost an integer. So there's another case if... Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thanks. So the other way, so if it's an imaginary case. So then you have this formula, which is something like that. So now if you have a formula, so now if we go to the situation where this quadratic extension is real quadratic extension, then I still have something similar, but now you have to take a derivative. So the L function has a vanishing order 1 at point s equals 0, so you have a derivative at 0 of chi, and it is equal to it's almost the same formula except you put something extra. So it's h divided by half of the number of roots of unity. Then times something which you usually call regulator is log. Maybe absolute value of log. Of a fundamental unit, right? Epsilon is a solution, is related to the so-called pair equation. So namely, it gives you a generator of the solution of this equation x squared minus, for example, if my discriminant is d, in certain cases, maybe you need to modify this equation, but essentially, if d is, some probability, this will be the solution of Stefanian equation of order 2, I mean degree 2. Epsilon is a fundamental solution. So you can get this solution by, for example, continuous fraction of square root of d. So that's one starting point. So in this case, we have L function attached to a Hecke character of on the group GL1. So now I want to state another result which goes back to 20 years ago, maybe more, 20, 25 years ago, which is due to Wasgu J. let me fix some notations. Now if I have reduction group G, so my aim will, shall we fix base field called S, which is number field, and I have a group of adels will be denoted by A. And we have a quadratic tension E over S. If I have a reductive group G over S, so we use G of the bracket of G to denote G of A, the identical point, modulo the rational point, and possibly modulo certain modulo the split center of this group, just to make sure this has a finite volume. So now I have, shall we consider quaternary algebra denoted by B over S, which can you can embed your quadratic tension E inside the D, and that also induce one embedding of this torus E cross inside the D cross. So now my group G will be, I will use the notation H to denote the subgroup E cross inside the group G. And I will have my representation pi, automorphic representation pi, on G, the Cospito automorphic. So then the formula of what UJ states as follows. So if you consider the integration of a form phi, where phi is inside a pi, if I look at the integration of the subgroup, and also you take square absolute value square, it's given by up to some simple factor due to the choice of a measure. It's essentially the L value is representing pi. So pi is representing on the quaternary algebra, so I will use Jacobian correspondence to transform to GL2. Then you take a base change for this quadratic tension. So you get the base change L function. So that's a key factor on the right hand side. So divided by the adjoint L function. Evaluate at 1. And then you have some, this cannot be correct because left hand side depends on this choice. So you have to compensate by some local factor, which we denote by alpha v. Cv and Cv bar, I assume that my test vector phi is a product under a choice of decomposition of pi over all places. So where I need to tell you what this local factor alpha v is defined to be linear functional on pi v and pi v conjugate to complex number is essentially given by integration of a matrix coefficient. So you're taking the matrix coefficient restrict to the subgroup H. Integrate over the subgroup. This turns out to be divergent if you do that way, but somehow it can renormalize by dividing the local L factor. So whatever you have here, you take a local factor to renormalize this product, so that for almost all V is almost 1. If you choose your measure correctly, So this battery is... So this formula only makes sense when my... Okay, thanks. So my pi has trivial central character. The central character of pi is trivial. For simplicity. So that's the formula just was built in middle line A. Now I'm going to say a result which is goes back to maybe 2 years ago. It looks almost the same as this one, except I have to redefine everything in terms of, so I will redefine two things. One is I will replace absolute value by something coming from limited height, and I will redefine another thing, and it's representation pi, to be something else related to Shimura curve. For simplicity, let me only assume my F is Q, and my group, my quaternary algebra is really the split one, the 2x2 matrix algebra, so that I can only consider the modular curve. So now, letter A, since I have used my letter E to denote the quadratic extension, so now I let A be the elliptic curve. Over rational numbers. So by the modularity theorem of Wiles and Tanner Wiles, for E.O. Conrad, Diamond Tanner, you can find the modular parameterization by modular curve that we define pi sub A, so which is attached to this elliptic curve to the representation. Wait, first of all, it's a set of SHG. I will use this to denote this family of modular curve in this case, indexed by K, with where K is compact open subgroup. So we consider all possible parameterization by the modular curve in this case. So the modularity theorem tells you this is not empty. And because the target is abelian variety, so this set has a structure of abelian group. In fact, I will tensor this abelian group with Q, or maybe even for more simplicity, I will just tensor with a complex number. So you get a complex vector space, and then we need to vary over the compact open subgroup, so that you have an action by the group of finite ideals, which is given by the action on the source. So it turns out this is precisely the automobile representation on GO2 attached to this elliptic curve. So now my thing here is almost the same thing, except I choose my thing inside pi sub A, but now say each automorphic form in the OSBJ case, each automorphic phi is a function on G of A modulo G of rational points, so complex number. So here you replace your phi by this morphism from Shimura curve to the elliptic curve. And the meaning of this integration, also this meaning of this phi of H, I made some mistakes here. I rigidify. So I assume this unit of half goes to zero. So each point inside this bracket H will represent one CM point on the modular curve. So this means you push forward the divisor to the elliptic curve. So that's, and also I need to tell you this double plus. double line represents the Neurontide high on this on the Hebrew curve with the value in the modern wave group with the value in the maximum abelian extension of this E. Ah, okay. One more condition, that E is imaginary in this case. So I only have action of G of AS. Yeah, there's no Archimedean component. Or you could... Which action? It has action of G of a finite ideal.
Yeah, your condition. That this action actually
preserves
your condition
by I see. So infinity, I should represent infinity by divisor class of infinity.
Right.
By the divisor class of infinity. Ah, okay, that's right. After tensor Q. So I have this Neurontide high on the Modell wave group of this Hebrew curve, and extend by Hermitian property. So then my formula stays the same as. Is the same form as this formula, and also I should mention that it is actually, well, it's not really goes back to 2 years ago, it also goes back to 25 years ago, first proved by Goldberg and Zagier. It is under the condition, so-called Hegel condition. Well, they consider a modular curve of level n, x mod of n, and also the Hegel condition states if p divides the level n, then p is split in this quadratic extension, in this imaginary quadratic extension. So I want to just, for the moment, I just want to mention one recent application. Sorry. So my recent application with this is two formulas actually. Which is due to application to one classical problem called a congruent number. So remember, for integer n, a square free integer, n is called congruent number if n is the area of a right triangle, all lengths are rational numbers. A right triangle, where you have a 3, A and B and C are all rational. The theorem due to Yue Tian.
The theorem,
so you said that you kind of compute the high from the theorem. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. Just like the case for my first example, first you have the central value, then you have a derivative in this case. Thank you. So now I have application to congruent number, which is if you fix any integer k, so then the set of congruent number n, which is square free, and which has precisely k distinct prime factor. K prime factors. So this set is infinity. So, actually, his result is more precise than what I stated. He could give a criterion in many cases where this n is in fact a congruent number. So the application is by applying both formulas to some modular parametrization which does not satisfy the Skinner hypothesis, and that's why this new statement. Oh, I should have also said in this form is proved by joint work by Xin Yu Yuan and Shou Wu Zhang. In several years ago, but this formulation came to us only in 1 year ago. So now I want so this is for some L function of on GL2. What happens if you want to go to somehow more general cases? So if you want to have automorphic representation on higher rank group. In this case, I just can recycle everything I wrote. So there's a formulation, there's one generalization due to one conjectural generalization due to which again depends on process and degrowth. Where you just replace what I wrote by the following new situation. So I still have this quadratic extension E over S, but now I will consider a group, consider a Hermitian space, a pair of a Hermitian space, where W is codimension 1 instead of V, to a Hermitian space. Then you can consider a unitary group, and we have the unitary group U of W times U of V. Since my smaller Hermitian space is a subspace, non-degenerate subspace of codimension 1, this induced the embedding of a unitary group with a smaller Hermitian space into the larger one. Then I take the diagonal embedding. So I have this situation, which I don't know, if I take a representation pi on the group G, the automorphic cascadal. So for some reason, we move to a group of a higher rank. Usually, we want to consider a nice behaved automorphic representation. In this case, then the so-called temporal representation. To avoid some analytic difficulty, so then you have the same conjecture, and actually I don't even need to, well, I need to remove the derivative and also return to the situation you have just absolute value square. Also the definition using metric coefficient integration stays. It's the same formulation. So this formula, so Gangor's process proposed a weaker condition, a weaker conjecture than this one, namely they proposed the conjecture that the long-dimension of the left-hand side is the equivalent of the long-dimension of the right-hand side. But this formulation, so this precise equality, which resembles the formulation of Wasbuji formula in 1980, is due to Ichino and Ikeda. You know, later on, for the unitary case we have here is given by Neil Harris. Okay, so this is a conjecture. It has the same form as what we wrote the two formula we had. So now I just want to report two results towards this conjecture identity. My pi, sorry. Well, it's okay. I should say something about the L assumption. My pi is depending on the unitary group. I will denote by pi e the quadratic base change to GLN from unitary group to GLN. So in this case, say my dimension W and V are N minus 1 and N, so this will go to G of N minus 1 and G of N of E. Then I will take the Rankine Seyoburg L function of the token. That's what I have. This is what happened on the on the numerator. Sorry, here. You still have, no, it's still a joint L function. It's a representation on unitary group. You have a joint representation of it's related to the L function of the base chain. In a less precise way, when I step in this way, it's less explicit. For results, one can do to my do to myself is that actually if you assume some local conditions, assume say E over S spleen at all Archimedean places. And also pi. The pi v are supercapacitor at two places, two space places. So then, the left hand side is non-zero. So the non-vanishing, the equivalence, we have an equivalence of non-vanishing. One remark is this was already known. One direction was already known. Maybe. So let's one direction. This from left hand to right hand side was known due to work of Ginzburg, Diwa Jiang, and also Rallis. So another result. Get myself in obtained like two weeks ago. Is you have this precise formula. If I do this by a star, this precise equality actually holds. If n is at most three. Well, it's a dimension. So n is a larger dimension. So n is at most three. And actually also under the condition that under some further local condition, which basically states if your representation at a non-split place is not unramified, then it has to be supercapacitor. So two extreme cases. You are allowed to have unramified representation, but you are also only allowed to have either a supercapacitor representation. Yeah, because the result is based on the previous one. So I should remark that local conditions are made due to the stage of the relative truth formula in this case. So I should also mention that the study was initiated by Jackie and Rollins using a relative truth formula construction, where the idea is to transfer the problem to GLN, because you have this quadratic change, a quadratic base change from unitary group to GLN, so you would like to make use of the result on GLN. You try to consider a kernel function where S is on the group of GLN minus 1E times GLN of E valued on del. So, okay, I guess I'm abusing notation. This is considered the restriction of Skinner as a group over S. If you look at the kernel function, over the rational point, then you can consider integration if you want to study the trace of this operator on the L2 space. You can just integrate over the diagonal. In the relative truth formula, you want to integrate to subgroup, which is given by H1 and H2, where H1, in this case, is a diagonal embedding of GLN minus 1 of E, where you embed GLN minus 1 into GLN in the way that G goes to the Brock diagonal matrix G and 1. H2 is a group of GLN minus 1 over the base field. And eta is a quadratic character. The quadratic character is essentially the quadratic character attached to this quadratic extension. We need to take a determinant of H. H1, if n is odd, otherwise, H is H1 and H2 on the product group. So it's a character of order 2 on the second subgroup, which is attached to this quadratic extension. So then you try to compare this truth formula with another one on the unitary group, which takes the same form with only, you can consider another one called on the group G of A, where G is the product of two unitary group. I guess I should use F prime. I should have used F prime to indicate a situation on GLN, but to reserve S on the group G. So then try to compare those two trace formulas, then you have all kinds of questions you already had in the case of endoscopes. Then you have the fundamental lemma, which is fortunately proved in this case by Jiwei Yun in the positive characteristic case, and also transfer to characteristic zero by Junior Gordon. Then you also have the problem of smooth transfer. Which was proved by myself. So combine those results and also use a simple truth formula to get the first result on the equivalence of a non-vanishing. So that was the truth formula used to attack this problem. But as you can see, as suggested by what we wrote in the GL2K, You should have also had some kind of formula, which is what we call arithmetic version. Namely, you should consider also some algebraic cycle on the relevant Shimura varieties. And in this case, let me just briefly recall. You should have had some original version where you replace central value by central derivative and replace this period square by some kind of arithmetic intersection problem. So on the Shimura variety. And here the Shimura variety is not, it's the same kind of Shimura variety which appeared in the previous talk of this workshop. So let me just recall that. I have my group G. Now I assume my Hermitian space. For simplicity, let me assume my base field is a rational number. So I have an imaginary quadratic field over Q. Suppose this has signature n minus 1, 1, sorry, n minus 2, 1, and n 1, respectively. Oh yeah, n minus 1. So then you can define Shimura variety associated with the unitary group. Well, or sometimes it's better to consider the unitary group with similitudes. But I will suppress the difference between the unitary group and G similitude of the unitary group, even though there exists, I think, some kind of a difference. So we have this Shimura variety for H and the Shimura variety for G. And also, if you consider the dimension, there are varieties of the canonical model defined over this quadratic extension E. If n is, I mean, all Q when n, or in the curve case, it might be defined over Q, but in general, it's defined over the quadratic extension E. The dimension is given by the signature, so it's n plus 2 plus n minus 1, so n minus 2 plus n minus 1. The smaller one has dimension n minus 2. So you want to consider intersection problem, so that we replace, so we just recycle this part. So where instead of considering this integration in this new case, you want to consider the intersection problem where this gives you some variety inside. Okay, this is only morally speaking. I have this subvariety defined by H, and I also consider my S, a test function S, but now it's only on the finite ideal. Now I have two S. So let me switch to the notation away from infinity to avoid the confusion. So I will, from this test function, I can define one Hecke correspondence. So called RS is a Hecke correspondence on the larger Shimura variety. So the X as a correspondence on the child group of the larger Shimura variety, then I can consider the so-called some kind of a generalization of Laron Tate height. In this case, it's due to Bennis and Brough and also Gillet Soleil. Somehow this height appearance is not quite well defined in the sense it's conditional on many standard conjectures on algebraic geometry. And it's not quite clear when those conjectures can be proved. So I could just switch to the version where I consider the integral model. So I consider some integral model. Of those varieties, then you can consider so-called arithmetic intersection on. So I will recall at least in one case how you define this intersection when I go to the local situation on the integral model. Now let me go to a local analog of those Shimura varieties, which also appeared many times already in the first day talk, first day of this workshop. Namely, I will consider the wrappable zinc space of unitary type, which uniformize the supersingular locus of the unitary Shimura variety. So I will denote to n sub n to the formal moduli problem, formal moduli of a quasi isogeny of a supersingular PDV group of dimension, of E times n minus 1 times E conjugate, where this E is the PDV group of a super singular unitary curve in curve P. So with OE action, now let me fix the place, fix the prime T inert OE completion of the P and also compatible with the polarization and also it has the signature condition of signature n minus 1 1 type and its conjugate indicates reaction given by the conjugation on this quadratic extension of QP ZP on Rami side. So I also have similarly for n minus 1 I have maybe I also should recall some property since it is formally smooth of its reduced part has dimension almost half of n, so it's n minus 1 divided by 2. Its reduced part has a further certification due to the Vollard and Wedderhorn. The certification index by the vertices of Brillhart-Tietz building. So it's called a Brillhart-Tietz certification. With the important, it has important feature that each strata is a deterministic variety associated to unitary group of other variables in finite field, defined over finite field. Oops, that's impossible. So now you also have a similar construction for n minus 1. For the smaller, it's the same construction. It has the same property. What's important is you can embed n sub n So remember I have, because n1, is of dimension 1. So over n1, that's the universal object, they call them y. So it's a pretty visible group over n1, in this case, it's also isomorphic to to the waiter room. So I have this universal object. So then I can define embedding at least in the level of S points for scheme S, where P is locally nilpotent. So I can consider where this parameter is quadruple, consisting of field visible group and also polarization, OE action, and also quasi-isogeny. So we mark this, I take this point to the product of S, X times Y, well, this change to S, to make sure the signature is correct, I should conjugate the action on Y. See, this way you get an embedding of minus one as a divisor in n sub n. So another important property of this space are, so there's a group action given by a group of quasi-isogenies, which was denoted by G sub V in the first day's talk. But like now in this case, it's actually the inner form. It's the inner form of the unitary group. So then the inner form of G, of a unitary group. So now I can form this intersection. So now I can define intersection number that will embed n minus one. There's also induced embedding n minus one inside the product of these two form a moduli functor. For anything inside this group of quasi-isogeny, which acts as automorphism on N, so we're delta is inside the group of quasi-isogeny it's a product of two cases with the unit with the so called the U of V prime times U of W prime. In this case, it's a product of two unitary groups. So you can translate this subformal scheme by automorphism of N. So I can define this intersection number at least in one case. So we just see. So in this case, in one case where we have two sub objects, they intersect transversely. So if we have something defined over W, X and Y intersect transversely, in a sense, X intersecting Y is the Artin scheme. So then I define this intersection to be the length to sum over all geometric points of this intersection where you localize at this point, then divided by the local equation which defines two sub so that's only one case I can describe easily. In general, you may have more complicated terms like higher tor or something like that. So let me just describe in this case, in the transverse case, you have this definition, and also time has a log of the residual field. It's only formally some factor involving the cardinality of residual field. So then I can state, a conjectural identity to do that. I also need to remind you I had another construction using trace formula on GLN. So I will have some orbital integrals. The gamma is a double cosine of GLN minus 1 times GLN of E, or E. So my E in this case is local. For simplicity, I will use unramified quadratic extension. And also have this double cosine modulo H1 of QP and H2. More precisely, just means GLN minus 1 of E and H2 of QP. So it's double cosine for some nice double cosine which we call regular semisimple in the relative sense. You can define an orbital integral of the identity function of the unit in a spherical Hilbert algebra, is a characteristic function of GLN minus 1 times GLN. It's designed to be, it's really the orbital integral of this function, one of this subset. Of this subgroup, where you take this integral h1 times gamma h2 and eta of h2 to h1 to h2, where you normalize the measure such that the volume of maximal compact inside of the two subgroups have volume 1. So then the conjecture looks like so there is a comparison of double cosines. Between this double cosine and all possible unitary group modulo certain equivalence relation U of W times U of V modulo U of W. So under this comparison, so the arithmetic fundamental lemma can be stated as, so the intersection number on the space is the same as the derivative. Okay, I should have also inserted H1 determinant of H1 to S power with this variable, S variable, complex variable. So then I can define this, consider the derivative at s equals 0. If the two orbits, gamma and delta, are marking under this bijection, okay, this bijection is only for the regular semisimple. In a relative sense, so in the remaining several minutes, I will say just one. So this is not known in general, but in the lower rank case, so if n is a and most free. Proved by myself. One and a half years ago, and also recently, joined work with like Rappaport and Tostig, we can establish some cases for arbitrary dimension, but under some restriction on this element delta, on this double coset. So to state this result, let me just briefly define. My delta is inside the unitary group. Where V, W prime, inside V prime, to Hermitian space, have R discriminant. So suppose I can write my larger Hermitian space, some smaller one, plus a one-dimensional Hermitian space E times U, will use the vector of norm one. So I can write my delta, because it depends only on the double coset, I can write it as one and G, where G is something in the second unitary group. So I can define this a lattice called LG, the sum generated by the translation under power of G of this unimodular vector U, where I is from 0 to n minus 1. If this happens to have maximal rank, namely if this is a lattice, that's actually the definition of G being regular semi-simple in this relative sense. So for this intersection to be long, for this intersection number to be non-trivial, it's necessary that this has integral value under the Hermitian form. So I can talk about the dual lattice, which will be something larger than LG. And this coding will be finite abelian group. It's a finite abelian group, so I can, by the structure theorem of finite abelian group, I can write this as Z modulo the Q to T to a certain power called Ri, where Ri is the exponents Ri can be arranged such that R1 I from 1 from 0 to n, sorry, from 1 to n, I can arrange such that they are the decrease. So those exponents we call the invariance of G. N tuple of integers with decreasing order. So we are in a minuscule case if this invariance has either 0 or 1. G is minuscule if invariance is of this form 1, 1, 1, and also some zeros. So the theorem, Rappaport, and Tostig. Myself is as follows. Actually, first of all, we have some results for a general case. In general, we know this reduced scheme, so the reduced part of this intersection. It's also also consists of some Berlin-Lustig sub-variety inside this Brillhart stratification of the reduced part of this formal modular scheme. So secondly, if G is minuscule, and also there's another condition which we probably don't like, but then if P is the prime P is larger than half of N, then this identity holds. So I should finish with the remark that in a minuscule case, it's already remarkable in that, in the sense that the intersection point that appears in this, in the underlying reduced part, is not necessarily a super special point, which somehow, surprising in the sense, usually you tend to think if there's only one point or discrete set of points which appear in the intersection, it should be a super special point. It turns out not always the case, already in the minuscule case. I will stop here. Oh, if P is not inert, it's even simpler. Under some simple conditions, so the intersection will be identical to zero. Oh, yeah, that's known. So in other words, only in the case P is inert, the problem becomes non-empty.